Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility, where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up, because we're going live, live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Perfect.
Everyone, what's up? We have guest hosts today. We have Kendall here from Australia. It is a wild Wednesday. We're going to fill out a couple things. Hope you guys are enjoying so far. Thank you for joining us. Say hi, Sambo. Welcome. Thank you for being here. So tell us how much you guys love her. So fill it out. Give us some comments. Shout out. What's up, Brian? How are you?
What's going on? I'm doing really well. Buenas noches from Nicaragua. I'm down here in Nicaragua enjoying the weather.
Hey, Mama.
Away from the snow.
I forgot you're already down there. Yeah, so Brian is coming from far away. He's a friend of Allie's and mine. Much more personal of Allie's. He's your old coach, correct?
Yes.
Okay. He's also a fight promoter. That's how me and Allie met. He's kind of like our matchmaker without Tinder. So a little less kissy, a little bit more punchy. How are you doing, Brian?
What is that?
How are you doing? I don't know if you have lag from being far away, but it looks beautiful where you're at.
Yeah, it is beautiful. I really like it. The really cool part about this, when we first came down here, I took my family. My wife is from Nicaragua, and I took my family, my in-laws, down to the beach, and they have, like, mountains that go up to the beach. So it's really pretty down here. I love it. And then I just came straight here to a coffee shop from a jiu-jitsu practice, and it turns out the guy that's the coach down here, I'm completely mind blown. I met the guy 7 years ago when he was 14 years old, and he's 21 years old now, and he's a brown belt under a black belt that's a black belt under Robert Drysdale, and he just smoked me. I mean, I don't get tapped a lot. I have pretty good jiu-jitsu. And I just got smoked by a 21-year-old kid that's a brown belt. That's like, it's freaking mind-blowing. And he came to the very first class that I was teaching 7 years ago. So it's really kind of cool to see how the sport has developed since I left from living down here. I lived in Nicaragua from 2012 to 2015.
So. Yeah, I believe a lot of these younger fighters are like a new breed. Totally different, not going to be the same. They're going to be evolving a lot. How are you? Are you still practicing then back in the States, or only while you're down there with your wife?
So we came down here. We haven't been down here for a while. It's been, I guess, since last year. And then I started a tree company this year when COVID hit. So I had my event canceled that I was going to promote. It was canceled. And then I started a tree company. Did well with that, but everything's just been kind of on the back burner since COVID hit. So we came down here, and I mean, Nicaragua is the poorest Latin American country in the world. So I really enjoy going out into like what I do when I come down here is I'll buy like a 100 pound bag of rice and a 100 pound bag of beans, and then I'll go to like a little toy shop, get a bunch of toys, and then I go into the poorest communities where kids wouldn't even get a Christmas present. And then I go and pass out the rice and beans and the toys to the kids and their families, you know, so that they have food. Because I mean, I can't tell you how many times there's been that I've gifted families food. And they're like, man, thank you so much for this. Like it came at a perfect time. So it's just nice to be a blessing to people in need. You know what I mean? Like we really have it a lot easier than a lot of people in this world. And if you've never been out of the country, a lot of people don't have a clue how good we have it in America. So.
Yeah, my boyfriend, you know Oscar, he's from Mexico, and he's from a more remote place. And when I give him birthday presents, he always has never had any of that before. So it's kind of like it's a big realization when they've never had a single present in the U.S. and they don't understand even why they get all this stuff. So I totally understand what you're saying. Allie, would you explain a little bit about Brian's background, since you know him probably longer than any of us talking here?
Well, I remember I was so blown away just from learning from Brian. I remember asking him, where did you learn how to fight? Where'd you learn this stuff? And he was just like, I didn't. And I mean, I was kind of blown away because he taught us so much, and he had such a different way about doing things that's different than what I'd seen. And just for him to be like, yeah, I never had like that much formal training. I just fought all the time. And then his record's extensive. He's had a lot of different fights, different countries. Kimbo Slice, that's a huge one.
Yeah.
Like, Brian, you can go ahead and jump in and talk about yourself.
Yeah, I guess without sounding arrogant, but, you know, I did. I started fighting before I ever started training. And, you know, I remember I was a busboy working at Chili's when I was 17 years old, and I found an ID. Somebody had dropped their ID. And the ID looked like me. The guy was 21 years old. I was 17, and I heard of a local bar in Des Moines called Toad Holler, and I wanted to fight. So I went down there with a chip on my shoulder and fought some college wrestler that was 8-0 and got taken down, and I turned over. I went belly down like in a folk-style wrestling match, and I got choked out right away. And then my second fight, the guy was 24-1, and I just got smoked. I got thrown to the wolves in my first few fights. And then I started training, and I went from 1-4 in my first 5 fights to 8-1 in my next 9. I got offered to fight pro. I said, what's that mean? They said, you get paid. I said, what? You make money doing this? So I got my career started when I was 18 years old, and I'm 35 now. And I guess I had like 15 years, 16 years fighting professionally. And at my best point in my, I guess in my prime, if you would call it that, I was 31 wins and 13 losses. And then when I was on a 7-fight win streak, Kimbo Slice was supposed to fight for a promoter that I had fought for before. And his opponent backed out 4 days before the fight. So I told the promoter, I said, man, let me have this fight. This is my opportunity. And he asked what I weighed. I remember I just walked out of a grappling practice at 195 pounds, and I told him I weighed 210, and they looked me up, and I was a 180 pound fighter with a 85% win ratio by submission. So they all thought that I was a jiu-jitsu guy, but I had good striking. And then when I would strike always in my fights, and then I would get taken down. I never took people down, but I would get taken down, and then I had good jiu-jitsu, so I would submit people off my back. I ended up with 37 wins as a professional, and all 37 wins were by finish. So I never won a decision.
And you've traveled several countries to fight, correct? You've been in Brazil?
Yeah, I got to go down to Brazil. That was the coolest thing. I fought in Brazil. I submitted a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt in his hometown. In Fortaleza, Brazil. And what was really cool about it is they were going to fly my wife and I down there. But then I could make more money if I just went down by myself. So I went down, but I told the promoter when I got there, I was like, hey, I don't know you. I'm down to fight. I'm here to fight, obviously. But I don't know you. And if I don't get paid, then I have no means of coming after you and trying to get paid. So I'm going to need my money up front. And he was cool with it. So he gave me my money, and I fought. It was like, I can't remember what it was. I made like $3,600 or something. And I fought with all of my money in a wad inside the pocket inside of my shorts, and went and won my fight. So that was really cool.
Well done.
That was a pretty gangster story.
I did it.
Yeah, it was cool.
So how do you explain more of your background in striking? So we know that you have a heavy jiu-jitsu.
Say that one more time.
What kind of style do you feel like you are in striking? Because you've done kind of everything.
I would say that I'm probably a more of a mixed martial artist type striker. I think that Muay Thai, you have too much weight on your back leg. I think that in boxing, you stand tall. So I feel like I have like a lower base to where you can defend takedowns. You can respond to kicks. You can throw punches. You can load power. And I guess I would say that I have a well-rounded striking style. I mean, I can box. I can kick. And you know, I do a lot of switching stance, but I feel like when you throw your kicks, you should push off. I feel like
down.
You guys there?
Is he okay? Did he get robbed?
What's getting crap on?
Yeah, hey, I dropped the phone and I like clicked the.
I can hear him.
But I feel like when you throw your kicks, if you throw a left kick, you need to finish in southpaw by pushing off with your kick. You need to finish in southpaw, but then be able to switch back to conventional stance if you are a right-handed fighter. You need to be able to do all that quickly, you know. So I would say that I'm just more of a mixed martial artist style striker, if that makes sense.
One thing that I really noticed and liked and took notes when I was at Brian's gym, and I hadn't seen it so much in other gyms I've been to, Brian will teach us a lot of stuff on moves that are impressive to see, that are entertaining, that, you know, if you get this and you nail it, you know, you're going to get so many fights because that just looks so good to pull off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, what matters is your performance. I mean, you can be a world champion. You can beat up world champions inside the gym. But when you're competing, that's all that matters is your wins and your losses. And the way that you win is a very important thing, you know. I mean, a lot of fighters don't realize this, but, I mean, I've had it happen to me. Like I said, I've learned most of the stuff that I've learned by fighting. You know, I had 62 professional MMA fights and 4 professional boxing matches. What I've learned is I've went and won fights. Like, I remember one time I sold like $5,000 in tickets, and then the guy came out and took me down. And right when he took me down, I transitioned right into an armbar and tapped him out in 27 seconds. So like, when I did that, it was like, all right, that's cool. You know, I won the fight. That was neat. But the people that bought tickets, they didn't want to buy tickets the next time. As many people didn't want to buy tickets because it wasn't as exciting, you know what I mean? Whereas if you can pass up a submission, I mean, you can win a fight by guillotine. All right, cool. You won your fight. That's cool. But what if you wouldn't have finished that guillotine and then went into a war, had a good defense, you were able to defend whatever threats your opponent gave you? But then at the end of the day, of course, I mean, that's where you have to measure the risk and the reward, because you can go and have a really great fight of the night and you can lose. Well, that loss, it hinders you from progressing. But if you have the best fight of the night and you get the win, then you're going to be more exciting. You know what I mean? If you go and land a Showtime kick running and jumping off of the cage and kicking somebody in their head, that's going to be a whole lot more exciting, and more promoters are going to want you to fight for them. More people are going to want to come and buy tickets and watch you fight, as opposed to, you know, hey, somebody shot in a double leg, you locked up a guillotine, you got it in deep, you closed guard, you finished, you tapped him out, you won the fight. All right, you got your win, that's cool, but was it as exciting as if you would have let that guillotine go, worked on getting back up to your feet, and then hit the Showtime kick running and jumping off of the cage? You know what I mean? So a lot of fighting is weighing out the risk and the reward and being exciting. But at the same time, I mean, that's also a big risk that you're taking, because if you lose, especially as a pro, you have to protect your loss record. You can't be getting a lot of losses and expect to advance your career. So I guess that's where I'm at on that.
That's awesome, Brian. So you've been fighting since you're 18, and you're how old now?
Say that one more time.
So you've been doing fighting since you were 18. You're not over it. You still love it.
That's.
Is there some days you get over it?
I haven't competed. So, well, I told you guys I went on a 9-fight win streak altogether. When I won in Brazil and I won a fight in Des Moines, I went on a 9-fight win streak, and then I got my win streak snapped. And when that happened, I kind of quit competing. Really, like that was my opportunity to make it to the UFC or to the big show when I had a lot of consecutive wins, but I never had a manager to be in contact with the UFC. But I have kind of like, after I went on my win streak, I lost the desire to compete like it was when I was winning. So, I mean, then I just took some fights for a paycheck. So I did eventually get over it, and I haven't fought for, I think I'm going on 3 years now without fighting. And you know, I'm done fighting. I am over it in a sense, but sometimes.
What makes you over it? Is it the training every day and staying fit and like eating well, and what is it?
Yeah, I definitely didn't train every day for a long time. When I came down to Nicaragua, I've lost 20 pounds in the last 3 weeks because I started finally, like, I had gotten fat because I hadn't been training and I had just been eating whatever I want. And those homemade tortillas from a Nicaraguan wife, that was on the size to you.
So, do you feel guilty that you put on size?
Or training consistently until I came to Nicaragua, and now I just started training again as of 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So one more question. Because you've been fighting for so long, like, and training, what would you have done if you didn't fight?
That's a very difficult question. If I would have stayed out of trouble, I probably would have pursued a career in baseball. I was really good at baseball. And one time I remember I hit four home runs in one game, a grand slam and then three regular home runs. So I was really talented in baseball. But at that time when I was a young kid, you know, 17 years old, I was getting in street fights and all that crap. So if it weren't for fighting, I mean, who knows, maybe I would have ended up in jail. But what I wish I would have done, if I would have had me in the future to go back and tell me what I should have done, I would have got into the tree industry, cutting down trees, doing tree trims and tree removals. If I would have started that 10 years ago, man, I would have been a millionaire by now.
So. All right. Oh, awesome.
No, we cut out.
Brian's gone.
I can't hear Karen. Can anyone hear me?
Hello, I can hear you.
Yeah, Karen, you got to unmute your mic.
Brian, I don't know where he went.
Can I ask why Brian is such an angry dog?
No, I'm back.
Brian's back. Did you get robbed again?
Back connected. So before we get on to the big topic, I want to talk to you, of course, everyone knows you, but I want to talk to you about the promotion series that you have out in Iowa. That's how you found me. You had me come out there with friends and athletes.
A little
connect the dots. Tell us a
little
about Iowa that you have going on out there.
Say that one more time.
Is
very she's wanting to know about your fight organization out in Iowa.
Yeah.
So the fight I love
your show. I want other people to know.
The name of my organization is the Fight Series, and it's an organization that I started in 2015 when I moved back from Nicaragua. I've been promoting fights for a long time. My very first event was it was August 17th of 2006, and I started promoting fights. And you know, since I've retired from fighting, you know, I've always wanted to continue to be in the sport. And I started promoting events years ago, but now I've just kind of taken it to another level. And I got my last event televised on Mediacom, so I got a TV deal, and it's just been something that I've been building up. But to be honest with you, man, like it's really discouraging seeing the other promotions that try and slit your throat whenever they get a chance to. Like, they'll try and swoop the rug out from underneath you. Like, I remember one time I had Josh Neer fight on my event in Des Moines, and the MCC back in the day, I didn't get along. I was the champion for them, but I didn't get along with the owners of it. And they promoted an event. I paid Josh Neer $10,000 to fight in Des Moines. And they put on an event the very next night in the exact same town as mine, just to hurt my show. And I mean, it has never stopped, you know, with other promoters always trying to cut your throat. It's such a horrible industry, you know? So it's something that really gets discouraging. And to be honest with you, like, since I started my tree company, like, it did really well this year. So I don't know if I even want to continue promoting fights anymore. I think that what I would like to do probably is get a gig to where I could go and do the marketing and sell sponsorships for an organization, for a promotion, get to sit cage side, watch the fights, you know, put on fighters that I want to see. But I'm not really interested anymore in doing absolutely everything, because when I was promoting fights, I was selling the sponsorships, I was doing the fight card, I was I was literally doing everything. I was scheduling the social media posts. And I'm not very good at doing that kind of stuff. So if I were to continue promoting fights, like, I wouldn't do it, I don't think, anymore by myself. I would partner with someone or just find another organization and go and help them build it up, because Des Moines absolutely needs a good organization. And I have that sales background that I can go out and, I mean, plus I was a very well-known fighter locally. I was a top ticket seller back when I was competing. So, I mean, for me to go out and go door to door, going business to business and selling sponsorships, selling VIP tables, building up an organization, but not having all of this stress, that would probably be the best fit for me now. So that's kind of where I'm interested in taking fighting as a promoter anyways, if that makes sense.
I want to say, because you're talking about like how the promotions are at each other's next multiple times. That's how it is kind of, I feel like, out of Missouri. I don't know if it's like that in every state. I kind of imagine in Australia, way I don't know. The promotions need the fighters, and the fighters need to be able to have access to these promotions. What you look at in these fighters when
I don't know what any of that was, but it.
Karen, I can't hear shit.
Can you not hear me?
Karen,
yeah, your mic went really bad.
Hold on.
Let's see.
Listen, me and Karen both know.
Go ahead, Elle, you say it.
I say we've both been to one of Brian's shows, and they're great. I mean, I know he's talking about it's so much to juggle because he does put so much effort into it. There's brochures on the table. There's multiple CDs to get to. There's catwalk for fighters. There's product that comes out for him. He started doing like promotional gifts for fighters. They get like a backpack and stuff, and he got matching red and blue corner gloves and shin pads for the fight. We had ring girls, like. There's a lot of effort that's put in the fight, and I can see where he's talking about it's hard for one person to do, but we just always love going there, and Brian hypes up the fight the whole time while you're watching it, and it was a great event, but he's also got a family, and it was hard because I can see where he was trying to juggle everything. His family was with him for everything and trying to be a part of all that, and it's just a lot.
It absolutely is a lot, man, and you know, it's one of those things to where, like, I absolutely love the sport, and now that my business in the tree industry has been doing really well, I mean, maybe I'll just end up being a cage side spectator, you know what I mean, or find an organization that I can go out and sell sponsorships for and help build up, because like I said, I've got a TV deal, and I mean, the events that I'm promoting are broadcast and what was it, like 3 million homes all together accumulated through Mediacom. So, I mean, it's one of those things to where, like, I've got a lot of exposure that I can offer to somebody, but I don't know if I want to be doing absolutely everything, because like you said, I have a family and it's difficult to juggle everything and then be there also for my family. You know, I've got kids that are growing up now, and then for me to be going and running my tree business, but then also to try and promote an event, like, it's just, it's a lot on my plate right now. But then at the end of the day, you know, I've got to do what's best for my family. So, and I'm always going to be a fight fan. I absolutely love watching the fights first and foremost. So, hey, before I'm actually going to lose you guys. I'm down to 1% on my cell phone right now. I just went and asked if the charger here at the coffee shop, and they don't have one. So,
we need Kimbo talk.
Yeah, if we're gonna lose you, make sure you give your shout outs.
Man, I guess first and foremost is Jesus, man. At the end of the day, like, that's the most important thing to me. You know, if I have a platform, I want to give the glory to Him, of course. You know, my personal Savior. So everything else in this world is temporary. So you know, I think that religion is a bad thing. Organized religion is a bad thing. But what was meant to be is a relationship with Christ, you know, who is the King of Kings. So that's the only shout out that I really have to give.
Thank you.
Karen, stand by. You guys got a question?
Okay, should I ask the question? So, Brian, do you like shit talking or not when you're promoting for a fight? Hello? Brian.
There you go.
He's gone.
He's gone.
I'm sorry.
Well, do you get...
I was wondering if that was going to be a thing, him being out there.
I think
it was battery life for him, he said.
Now I can talk to Sambo. That's fine.
We're splitting tonight anyway.
Is my mic better first before I start? Because I'm just going to mute it and let you guys talk.
No, your mic's good now.
Yeah, so it's not echoing.
It was an echo before?
It was an echo robot. It was a bunch of stuff.
Sorry, guys, at home. Okay, Sambo, go.
So, do you girls like shit talking?
Me, personally, I'm not a fan.
If I get a knockout on my record, then I'll start shit talking. I have TKO only, so I won't just because
it
might be like a little more humble because I know I have a lot of shit to work on, and I think everyone in the community, they all know, like, unless I really put my name out there or if I become pro, I might do a little bit. I think it's fun. I like listening to people shit talk. I'm totally down for it. I just myself won't do it. So if you shit talk, I'll be like, yeah, fuck that bitch.
I do like it before a fight.
That sounds like you seem really like aggressive. Like when you fight, I was watching your videos when you fight and you have one of the girls in the corner at the Muay Thai and you're just like, oh, like, but I can see like a little catty, but it makes it fun.
It does.
You kind of have to like convince yourself that you're aggressive with it.
I remember it was the Mike Tyson, the Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight. And they promoted like a year in advance and like they should talk for that whole year. And I was still so amped up to watch it a year later.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
One thing. You can talk shit about it, but when you see it on Facebook, you're just going to sit there and read all the comments.
How do you handle, like, when your poster comes up for your fight and you see someone, like, comment something bad about you and they don't even know you? How do you handle it? Does that fuck with your head?
I think I'm passive aggressive. I'll post something and make sure that you see it and make sure you know it's directed towards you, but I'm not going to say it to you. So you're just going to feel guilty about yourself the rest of the day.
So would you clap back or would you, Ali, would you clap back or would you just let it go?
I feel like I guess it would have to depend on how they went about it, like, and how immature or whatever it is, if I feel like I need to say something, but I feel like at the same time the response is, you know, kind of almost like you're threatened too, or they had something valid to say. So I'm also that big person, no response is a response.
You're so nice. I can't do it. Do you like to do it though?
Because me, if I don't respond, that means you're worth my fucking time.
I agree with you.
Only talk to this when it's brought to you. So do you bring it to them or do you let it almost like as a defense mechanism to talk shit, Sambo?
No, I always get fucking bitches coming at me.
Why? Because you're pretty.
I don't know.
It is weird how that is. Sometimes you can be non-aggressive that way, but you still got people bringing it to you for some reason.
Yeah, like, I hate it, but, like, some people judge you for, like, clapping back, and that shit, too. Like, you got to stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just have a little bit of, like, what is it? Brian said that he doesn't like to be arrogant or something. I think you have to be a little bit arrogant. I think we talked about this last time. You can't go on that cage or the ring and feel like you're just some, you know, pushover or whatever it is, and you're not going to defend yourself, whatever it is they say about you, or be humble. Like, you totally be humble, absolutely. But for the other people, I think sometimes too shit talking is a defense mechanism. Maybe they're nervous, but that's the only way they can hype themselves up. So I'm totally down for fucking people shit talking. If that's the way you get in the ring, go for it. It makes it all more interesting. I don't like it when people though shit talk and they have zero way to back it up. Like,
yes, me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
loudest ones have no reason to talk.
Yeah,
I can't think of anybody offhand.
Huh?
I can't.
What'd you say?
I can't think of anybody.
I can't think of anybody offhand.
I know a couple people that probably shouldn't talk.
I know.
They shouldn't talk. I'm looking at you. I hope you're watching. Once your record backs it up, don't talk. So, No, but I like to be a little more humble. My boyfriend, though, he hates people that shit talk. He's so humble. Like, if I get a little cocky, he's like, calm down, babe. And I'm like, no, that's just me. He's totally opposite of a fighter. He's a huge bull. You cannot push him back. Like, he will keep pushing forward. He's really violent, but so humble. It's so weird. Versus me, who I can't do anywhere near the damage as him, but I'm like a little chihuahua. Like trying to pick myself up, like how tiny I am, and I think I'm this big, massive beast. But I think it's all—I think it's good entertainment. You can't just have boring fighters. Like, there's got to be a little bit to it. So
you got to have that fire in you to make you want to fight.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I got started into it. Mm-hmm.
So how many fights do you have? You have like over 10, right? You have a lot.
Yeah, so I started Muay Thai like 2017. I did a random trip to Thailand and I hated it. And then I trained for a year and then I fought and I loved it. And then I went back in 2018, stayed in Thailand for a year and just fought and had like 11 fights.
Nice. So were you already fit beforehand, or is this a way to get into fitness? You look like you've probably already been fit for a while. Like, you have really
good. I think I'm just muscly.
Yeah.
It's just in the genes, but I never liked the whole gym thing, like just looking at yourself and training. Like, I love fighting because you train for something and you get to use it and test yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm shitty that, like, I came back to Australia in 2019 and learned all this stuff and experienced Thailand to COVID and being locked down. So I've had to, like, find myself again since coming out of lockdown, like, a month ago.
Has it been pretty – I haven't been paying attention too much.
It's tough.
Australia's pretty much locked the fuck down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were shut down for 10 months and, Todd.
We're shut down, but there's a lot of us not listening.
Yeah.
The state you're in, it's a mess over here.
Florida is open.
Yeah, depends on where you are.
Iowa's pretty much open.
We're fucking open. I just got back from BKFC event and everybody was having a great time hanging around each other. Very few masks.
I've seen some, but they're more for advertising, I think.
Yeah, I think that's more.
So where are you trying to go, Sambo? Are you looking to get more fights in? Which on your list for this year, especially when stuff start opening back up?
So now that I'm back in Melbourne, I'm trying to find that gym that's gonna like be I'm looking for that bond with a trainer to teach me MMA. I want to transition into that. So I'm still looking. But I want to just learn MMA and then have a fight.
Nice. Have you done any jiu-jitsu or groundwork wrestling at all? Or is that something that would be a new for you?
That's something new. Ooh. I've done a few classes and it feels a bit weird. But
it's good. It's great cardio. I don't like to grow up, but I'd rather do that for cardio.
Really?
Yeah, you can grapple on a little bit. You get sweaty fast. It's a good workout.
And you're getting muscular. You're not just, like, wasting through your muscle. Like, yeah, you get tone, really, you get strength training out of everything. And flexibility.
If you learn jiu-jitsu, it's not even about strength. You learn how to manipulate the other person and use their own strength against them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
it. So how long do you reckon it'll take for someone like me to learn the ground game and to have an MMA fight?
Well, you seem really good up and striking already, so you just have to be comfortable on the ground. I see people, like, not comfortable at all, and they're still working on it, depending if – I'm impulsive. I'm just, like, throw me in there.
Yeah, I'd say so I would do maybe, like, 4 or 5 months.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
Five months, I'd say, is a safe number.
You could 6 months. You could be a year. It depends on you, too, like, if you want to be safe.
Yeah, how you don't feel comfortable, never accept a fight.
Yeah, with MMA, though, like, you could strike, and you could – really get that KO or the TKO, but that's gonna be a lot more work. In MMA, it's a lot easier to make that mistake and to lose your fight. You can win the whole damn thing and they can just get you a damn arm bar real quick or a guillotine and it's over. It could be that quick. So being more, it's not really like you couldn't hold your own in there. You can go in there with not really good groundwork and great striking, but if you go on the ground and you can't defend or you're not that knowledgeable, it may be your fight until you go on the ground, and then it's over in a matter of seconds, if that makes sense. So that's the only thing. It's like, there's a way easier to make a mistake or to change the direction of the fight in MMA versus striking. So I do like striking. If you're looking to get into MMA, I would say suggest over a year, depending on how well built you are for how well you absorb it.
Yeah.
If you're aggressive enough to do it, that's one thing.
Yeah. But I want to come to the States, like, with you girls and train. Because it's not that big here in Melbourne.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I want to save money, and then, like, once your borders are open, I want to get out to Las Vegas and train there. Yeah.
We have a couple of fighters that we're friends with that have been on our show. It's a Johnny Hollywood Case. Then we have Gustavo Lopez. Johnny Hollywood Case is a great fighter out there. I think was it PFL, and he also is Korean Zombie's training partner. And then you have Gustavo Lopez in Vegas, who does UFC. So we have some connections. If you do come here, we can definitely touch. And then like, do you want to fight bare knuckle? And then we're going to get you to fight bare knuckle.
Has he asked you? Has Matt asked you? Would you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if I'm ready. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about coming back in the cage, possibly. I just watched that girl turn into an alien like Joanna did, and so I'm holding
up. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
That shit looked fucking brutal.
Yeah, her head looked bad.
That and has some black eyes from 4 ounce gloves.
Did you watch it, Sambo? Did you see the BKFC?
No, I have to watch it. Matt just told me about it 2 days ago. That's gangster. So what's, like, the worst injury you've had from fighting?
Go for it, Allie.
Well, okay, so, I mean, there's a list. I've broken my nose probably, like, 4 or 5 times. I've had...
Your nose is still cute, though.
3 or 4 black eyes, huh?
Your nose is cute. Can't tell.
Thank you. But it's fragile now. Karen, I'm pretty sure, bruised my ribs for some weeks.
Yeah.
I've had some busted shins a little bit. I'd say that's probably the worst. And I've busted my lip a few times, too.
Oh, okay.
We've talked about my injury, I think, every show, and I feel bad for people at home listening. Like, Jesus Christ, Karen, get over it.
It was so gnarly.
What?
It was so gnarly. I would have been bawling my eyes out.
You look solid as Karen. What injuries did you – you look solid and, like – tough, like,
yeah. Yeah, I'm tough.
What injuries did you have?
I have my bloody noses, but honestly, the girls I fought, aside from this one with the guns, me and Allie have already fought.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm probably the one that hit the hardest, aside from me walking into the last chick's fist because she almost knocked me out. She was a tall person. My worst one was I got kicked in sparring with her shin guard on, but it was with a professional fighter, and she has a lot more bane behind her kicks than Amy's do or that I was up against. So it was sparring training. I got kicked. This is my right side of my face, so the screen's flip up. I got kicked here. It broke my orbital bone and it broke my nose. So it was like blood, and I kept telling my boyfriend, like, I can't feel my face, like, got hit really hard. I'm like, no one hits that hard. Like, I can't feel my face, and it paralyzed. Not paralyzed. I can move everything. I would never look different, but I could feel here. So I couldn't feel I can't feel like here. I can't feel my nose a little bit, and my eye about right here. That's it. So it did more damage, like nerve damage. That's all.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of paralyzation, kind of. So, from a kick. That was nice. It felt like a baseball bat. What is yours?
Do you have one?
I do. So, for my fifth fight, I fought this. She was an ex-Muay Thai champion. And she was, like, really, really tall. Like, if you're really, really tall in Muay Thai, like, that's a big advantage. And I remember she kicked me and a quarter kick. And like, she punched my face 5 times. And because I was like broke in Thailand, I had a really shit mouth guard. So when I pulled my like mouth guard off after the fight, it was a 5-round fight. She won by points. It was really close. And I could feel like a little chip in my front tooth. And I went to the dentist the next day and they said, we can't glue it. We have to take it all out. So I spent like probably 2 months in Thailand with like no front tooth, but I wore one of those falsies. And I always kept getting like food stuck under it. It was so annoying. And then like when I came home, the other tooth got infected. So I had to get 2 root canals. So right now I've got like 2 fake teeth at the front.
I would never know. It looks really nice.
Thank you.
Several girlfriends are like just pull their teeth out.
Oh, I look like a crackhead. Like it was gross. Like 2 months.
But that was a head kick, you said?
No, so like she kicked me and I grabbed her kick and then she punched me 5 times in the face. Yeah.
Damn. I don't like them talking.
I knew when she said when she took out a mouth guard, like, oh no, a tooth came out.
That's what Britt Hart said. Didn't she say, like, what's her face?
Knocked her tooth out?
Rollins pushed her teeth back and she said she actually knocked him out. Mm. I think probably finished the job. I don't know if that's true if she actually knocked him out, but it sounded like that's what she was saying.
Pushing him back even sounds like it was worse than getting him knocked out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Did you guys watch the pay-per-view of BKFC or no?
No, I bootlegged it.
Oh, did you?
I watched the highlights.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you gotta look up this fight when you get off.
Okay.
Van Zandt and Britton Hart. Britton was one of our guests what, a month ago or so. Really nice girl. We both met Paige too. Nice as well. What was I gonna say though? Oh, elbows. So I love elbows. And so you're more all Muay Thai. How are the elbows?
They're good. I remember it was chick elbowing me in the face and I got knocked out. I was like, I didn't get blacked out, but I was like weird for like the whole night.
How was it? Was it? You have the pads on it though, right?
No.
They're not, is it?
In Thailand, there's no pads, nothing, shin guards, no. I remember one time this guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he was having his first Muay Thai fight and he comes up to me and he's like, oh, Sam, like, is there anything like, is there numbing cream to put on your shins before your fight? I'm like, what? There is no such thing as that. You shouldn't be fighting if you're like wanting to put numbing cream on your fucking shins.
That too.
Don't fight.
I would love to throw one. That's why I asked. Because I'm like, we can't throw them here. I heard in Missouri, apparently they change if you've had 5 fights. And the other agree to it, you can throw elbows. I will love the day when I could throw an elbow. But I don't know if I want to get hit with it. That's the thing. So,
I love them, man. I've seen like a lot of people get cuts in that. Yeah.
That's why I like Ferguson a lot because he throws all the elbows. Anyone that throws
Why can't you throw elbows? That's weird.
You what?
Why can't you throw elbows in your.
Not in the Ammies, if you're a pro.
Oh, okay.
Pro, you can, but I heard, at least in Missouri, I don't know if it's true. I have to look it up because it'd be really interesting. But if you've had 5 fights as an Ammy and the other person agrees to it, then you can possibly have the agreement of throwing elbows. I don't know if that's true. I hope it is. Because I will be inquiring about that if I get back.
So how many fights do you have to do now to become pro?
None.
I don't think there's a set number.
So what makes you pro then?
I guess tell promoter you want to be signed up as a pro fight.
Oh, okay.
I want to feel like it's different in Missouri, but I've seen people that shouldn't be pro be pro. I think they are there to pad someone's record. So I totally believe in that. And so that's another reason why I can't talk crap, because some of the people that do talk crap have the padded records and they're fighting. something that someone is not really there. But why am I stuck on the screen? I'm sick of looking. I don't want to look at myself anymore. People, God, take me off. What am I doing? I'm just stare at that. I don't like looking at myself. That's why I don't even take selfies, let alone do I want people to just...
I mean, don't quote me for Iowa, but I want to feel like... I don't know if you have to go through the athletic commission to go to pro, or if you just tell promoter, hey, put me as a pro fight, pay me, or whatever, and give me an opponent that's a you know, that's pretty new, too. I don't know how it works, but I know... I don't think it's very extensive here, either.
I think you need at least a winning record, but I'm not sure of the amount. But then again, like I say, the people that I do know that are going pro don't have that.
Yeah. So I'm not even sure if that's a requirement.
Huh?
So I'm not sure that's a requirement here. I've heard some AMAs that don't even have a fucking win say they're going to go pro.
Yeah. I think Matt left us. That's why I'm just stuck here on the screen.
Oh, he's not supervising us anymore.
I know. But yeah, if you come here to the States, each state can be completely different. Ambo, so I don't know, is that how it is in Australia?
I've never fought in Australia, but I guess so. I think it's just if the promotion puts the fight as a pro fight, then you're a professional.
Wait, so you've only fought in Bali, right, you said? So you haven't fought in Australia at all?
No, I've only fought in Thailand.
Oh, okay. You trained in Bali?
No, I haven't. I want to go to Bali.
Bali for? Didn't you say you went to Bali?
Nah.
Where the hell did I hear that? Holy shit.
Who's telling lies? Who's talking shit?
Why is it safe? She said she was in Bali. I'm like, oh, I thought she was in Thailand. And then you said Thailand.
This is the first time we had two people on in different countries.
So... Well, did you want to give a shout out? It's your first time on here, Sambo. Did you want to give a shout out to anyone that would be listening from Australia, hometown, Thailand, Bali?
I miss my Thai trainers at Phuket Singha Muay Thai Gym. My brother, who's the owner of that gym. And I just want to say hi, and I miss you. And yeah, I hope to visit you soon.
Yeah.
And they're the best there. They freaking, I don't know if I'll ever get that same training again anywhere. Like, these guys put so much effort into me. I don't think I can find that type of trainer again.
You can find it. I do think it's a complete relationship, though. You have to be.
It's like a therapist, kind of.
You have to have chemistry. Yeah. Or at least that they listen to you and they understand where you're trying to go and what fits you best as a fighter and not like what they want you to do because you're a coach.
I see that a lot of fighters going to different gyms. You have to figure out, where you vibe with, where
they know
your strength, they know your weaknesses. They can say, hey, I see you do this, I see you do that. This is the style you should be doing, you know, and they can form fit to you and not just, this is just all I teach to everybody.
To Joshua, I see Joshua, you're asking, where do I train in Missouri? I'm in the St. Louis side, not the Kansas City side. I work out of a couple different gyms. I see you talking about Blue Corner. So I fought for Shamrock, I fought for Nemesis, and I fought for the Fight Series. I train out of a couple different gyms. One of my coaches is out of Finney's MMA. Another coach is here at the boxing gym, which is where I'm at the moment. And then I also work in part with Ravens Ridge MMA. There's just some buddies of mine. So I kind of float around, not the World's End, no, I'm not. But I do have a lot of people here that I do know from the World's End. They're a very great gym. I can only say good things about them and all the different gyms. So each gym is going to be a little different. My boyfriend goes out to the World's End and hangs out with them a little bit. There's some good fighters coming out of there, a lot of good fighters, especially kickboxers. So I do know them. I do not train out of there, though. Independent person. So long story short, I'm not fine at the moment and I train out several different gyms, so depending on who's working with me.
How come you're not fighting at the moment? Are you just taking a break? Or
I took a break from my injury. I got injured a year ago and then I turned it into strength training, so I did a lot more weightlifting this past year. And if I wanted to fight, I always told them, like, I'd have to lose about 15, 20 pounds first if I wanted to fight again, because I walk at, like, 140 right now, and I need to fight at, like, 120, 125. I don't think I could ever get to 115. So if I get down there, like, I feel fine. Like, I'm undefeated as a kickboxer. I'd like to come back into MMA possibly, but it really depends if I want to lose weight, and two, if I can come back better than I was before, then sure. But I have no need to come back. I'll be 35 next month, so it would be purely just I want to punch someone. So, and I'm getting a little punchy, itchy right now, so we'll see.
I think that's a problem with a lot of fighters. Like Brian was talking about, even if he can't make promotions, he wants to still be a part of it. All the fighters I see, they end up becoming coaches, do something. They try to stay in the sport somehow.
Yeah.
It's really hard to just walk away from.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah.
I'm coaching a couple of people on the side. So I have some Ammies, some green. One of my girls, she just got her first fight. My boyfriend just went pro. I have a couple other green people we've been training. And some up-and-coming things at my gym. So I've been more on the back end of it, kind of coaching and helping people with strength and balance. And so we'll see if I get back there. But I totally enjoy helping people more than the – it's just a tough – thing to go through a fight camp, so if I'm there in the momentum, I'm like, sure, bring it on. But it's been over a year, so I have to get back into it. I don't train the same, so
yeah. I have realized that when you have a fight coming up, that is the best motivation to work out, because if I don't have a fight coming up, like I'll get to it, but I kind of was like, I gotta not get beat up. So like, that's the motivation I need to do a little extra workouts.
Yeah, you need the goal. You need like, here's a date, here's a chick. Okay, give me a face. I need to see a face first. So you don't have a fight coming up though, you said, at all?
Well, I started training at this Muay Thai gym for 3 weeks now, and the owner asked me if I wanted to fight. I'm currently 56 kilograms and he wants me to fight at 50. I've never been 50 kilograms. I think the lightest I've been is 52, and I was training my ass off in Thailand to get to 52. Do you reckon I could get to 50?
50. Well, let's see.
We got to convert that.
That's
how much is that?
52 kilograms in the U.S. and pounds is 115 pounds. So, hell
no. See, yeah. And I had my brother was like, you should go to 115. Then you can knock around those little girls. Like, I can't get to 115. Like, 120, yes.
Yeah. I feel like I'm at 118. Like, 118 is the lowest I could ever reach.
Yeah, but this asshole did the numbers, like, stick out your arm and wiggle it. You can lose another 5. Like, you ass. He's like, that's how you can tell if you can drop weight or not. Stick out your arm, wiggle it.
Yeah, I just don't think it's – I just don't think I can do it. So I might say no.
How tall are you, Sambo?
I'm short. I'm 5'1".
Okay, okay. That's what I'm like. I'm
5'4". You're shorter than me.
What? You guys are short. I thought you guys were tall.
I'm like 5'2". Karen, you're like, what, 5'4"?
Yeah, that's tall. I think I'm tall. Until the other tall people are like, no, you're tiny. I'm like, that's why I think I'm bigger and stronger than I really am. I'm strong. I'm just not big. And yeah, Allie, I thought Allie's definitely shorter than me.
I just go.
Also, you're like one of the first short people I got to fight. So everyone else is.
I know. Isn't it nice being in your range? I'm used to hopping back and forth all the damn time trying to avoid arm reach.
Yeah.
I feel like, it's just a Muay Thai fighter being tall, man. They're just.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to fight tall Muay Thai. Hell to the no.
Especially not a girl that's more than like 5'7".
Yeah. And everything is going to reach a lot further.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they can tag you before you get away.
I'm thinking, like, I shouldn't do the Muay Thai. I should just wait and have an MMA fight, because I don't want to get injured doing a Muay Thai fight.
Are there any good MMA gyms around where you're at, or?
Still sussing that out.
I'll have to look.
Anyone that knows good MMA gyms in Australia, please comment on.
Yeah, let me know.
There's a shit ton here in Florida, but
yeah, any of our
friends. I better get to the sites.
Come here. We'll take care of you here. There'll be plenty. There's a million gyms here, though. It's got to be.
Yeah.
ones in Florida. Especially down in Fort Lauderdale area. Yeah. From our old friend Evan, who was on our show, and Dustin Lampreser over there at Sanford MMA.
And there's some good ones I know down in Arizona, too.
Which one?
I said, I know there's some good ones down in Arizona, too, if she ends up going that way.
Yeah. You have endless opportunities here.
Mm-hmm. And
so.
That's awesome.
And here, like, it doesn't matter what state you actually end up, there's promoters that'll find you and just, like, get a hold of you, like, hey, some girl dropping out of a fight in, like, 2-3 weeks. Can you fill the slot? We'll pay for you to travel here and stay here for a weekend and whatnot.
Oh,
so, I mean, yeah, no matter where you go, you could get fights in other states, and, like, you don't even have to be a big name. Like, I'm a NAMI, and I got, I don't know how many promoters there once, like, hit me up, like, hey, do you want to fill this slot? Can you get in this card? Can you come to this state? I'll pay for you to get here.
That's mad.
Athletic commissions aren't supposed to do that. You get zero money.
You know why I like fighting in Thailand, though? Because, like, you don't have to promote for it, but, like, the time will do it for you. Like, I don't like the social media and, like, you know, all that crap.
Yeah.
So you just fight because you just love fighting.
That's why
you sell tickets or anything. Yeah.
You don't want the tickets. That's another thing. You don't have to worry about that. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to anything beyond weight, fight, and that's it. I don't like something.
Yeah.
I'm not good with it. You come. I really don't care if I have an audience. I could be the person being booed and I'm happy. Like, I'm so happy. But all right, guys. Well, I think it was a great show. Sambo, I want you on. We love you. That was a great
show. Yes, thank you for having me on.
Hopefully, what we got. Hi, sweetie. My puppy's coming in screaming. Sorry. He's waking up his podcast coma. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Give a shout out. Anyone, Allie, Sambo, you guys give a shout
out. I mean, I'm excited Brian finally got to come on. I was wanting to get him on a little while ago, but he was busy with some stuff in Nicaragua, and then wasn't sure what was going on with, like, events. So I'm glad I got him on. Surprisingly, I met him because I had a fight and he was my opponent's coach. And then he hit me up months after that. I was needing a gym to go to, and I had heard about his gym and that it was kind of like an exclusive. It wasn't like majorly advertised. And like a couple weeks after that, he actually hit me up out of the blue and was like, hey, do you want to come to my gym? I got a couple girls that train there. You could have other girls you could train with. And I started going there and I learned a lot. And I want to say I went there for probably like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I got busy with work and I wasn't able to train for a while, and that's kind of then COVID happened, so his gym shut down. But that's kind of how I met Brian, and really glad to have him on. I'm glad we have our new guest host, which might be more permanent. So
yes.
What was that, Matt? What was that?
I think you guys got along great.
Yeah.
I'm
from Australia, so
to help support our channel,
I'm gonna go back to work now.
Please, bye.
Our day's over.
Yes, is that my favorite flavor, guys? Try the blue raspberry. It is the blue raspberry. That shit's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good. She sent us some down to Sambo. Let's taste it.
Drinkers.
Yes, please. I'll send you my address.
All right, guys. Have a great night. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
See ya!
Perfect! 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 Perfect!